Aren't you glad of that? There's just nowhere that you can get away from God and wouldn't want to, but are so glad that He is not only everywhere that we are, but He's already gone before us everywhere that we're going to go. What a comforting thought that is. Glad to be with you. Wouldn't be another place I could think of that I'd rather be this morning. I want you to know I always count it a privilege to be able to preach anytime I get to preach. And my church is over in Limestone, wherever I get that opportunity. It's just such a grand pleasure to get to come back and to be with you all and to see you again, have a conversation with you, and just get to know what's going on with you and in your life. So thankful to be here this morning. Thank God for the opportunity to do that. I would have loved to have made that entrance that Jeff made a while ago. And I did that one morning over here. I was sitting right there on the front pew, and I had to come up here and lead prayer. It was my privilege to come up here and lead prayer. Back then, I used to jog 3 miles. I know you don't believe that, but I did. And I got up that morning, and I decided I was going to run up steps like he did. I fell all over this platform. It was in the early service, so only about 125 or so of them got to see that, and I was real glad of it. Then the second service, I didn't run up here, and I haven't ran up here again. I remembered that when I saw him come running up here. I want to invite your attention to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. A lot of good things going on. Really good to see that you're still doing Sharing the Light. And that's a great, marvelous thing. Of all the things, though, that I heard this morning, I like to get involved in that Christmas thing that the women's going to do. Because I distinctly heard her say that they were going to eat for 2 hours. I've always wanted to do that. And I've always wanted to preach 20 minutes, but I never have been able to. So, in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I'm going to read a portion of verse 3 and then look at other of these verses for a few moments. But here's the good news that our Lord shares with us through Apostle Paul. He says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself," speaking about Christ, "lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Father, I want to thank you for the word that you've left us, not to be added to or taken away from. And so, Father, I pray that that would be the case with this sermon this morning, because I desire only to say what you'd have me to say. And I pray for that. Now, I ask you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that you speak individually to each one that's here this morning. And because you've promised to do that, I have faith in you that you will. And, Lord, you have moved by the Holy Spirit to bring me to this place. And so I pray, Father, that you'd move by the Holy Spirit for the presentation of what's going to be said this morning. Now, Father, I pray for that one or more than one, Lord, who may need to receive you as personal Lord and Savior of their life this morning, that they do that. And I pray for that one, Lord, who may be discouraged for whatever reason this morning, to understand that you're there to help in times of discouragement, to bring us through and to bring us out. And I thank you for that. And Lord, there are other decisions that you're going to impress upon people to make this morning. You know what they are, and that's the significant thing. But I pray, Father, for my part of it, that those decisions would be made. Because, Father, to say no to you would be the worst thing that we could ever do. And to say yes to you ought to be the immediate thing that we do. And so I pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Paul compared our life to a foot race. The Bible compares our life in a lot of different ways and draws parallels to it. Sometimes it's a boat trip from one shore to another. Paul compared our life to a race. Listen to him in Hebrews 12, beginning with the first verse. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," referring back to chapter 11 and that roll call of all of those who had such great faith in the Lord, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We don't know how many days that we're going to have on this earth. God does. I'm glad that I don't. I don't think that I could handle that, and not in the human flesh, not the way that it ought to be handled, and I don't think any of us could. And God knows that, but He has our day's number. But sufficient to say, we ought to be sure that we know that He has our day's number. At the end of that, gloriously, we're going to be transformed up to heaven, and we're going to be with Him. But between the time in which we're saved and the time in which God brings us home to heaven, we have a life that He's given us that we're to live in abundance, because He's promised us that. And that's not to say that we're not going to face the times in our life that we would have the opportunity to be discouraged. Not only will we have the opportunity, but there's going to be times when we are going to get discouraged, even to border in depression, and maybe have gone into depression at times. It's not where God wants us to be, because He says that He wants us to consider some things. He says in verse 3 through the Apostle Paul, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though these things are realities in the world in which we live, because of the way the world is, God wants to bring us through. And He's given us some things here in this chapter that we can look at that will not only help us to do that, but of an assurity, when we place our faith and our trust in God, will bring us out. We have bad days, though, because this world has not only a lot of great things to offer us, it has a lot of bad things to offer. But we have to learn that God not only lives in us and walks with us, but He's going to bring us through, out over, with behind us these times in our life in a victorious manner, in which we're going to be more strengthened in mind than we were when we came in. That's just His promise. He strengthens us in these times. If you've ever exercised or played sports, or if you still do or play sports, you know you've had better days than others. You know, some days you just catch, if you're used to doing that, sometimes you, I know when I was playing football, there was days, you know, when we'd be far into the season where I couldn't understand why I wasn't getting tired. Back then we call it catching our second wind, but what had happened was we'd built up stamina to get through a game or to get through a practice. But I could also remember spring practice and going into football training at the beginning of it all, and you just think, Brother Danny, going to die before it was over with. But this is the way God works in our life. And even though we might have a bad day, as we place our faith and our trust in Him, He does two things. He gets us through that, but He strengthens us for the next time that it happens in our life, and to help other people who are going through. Jonah had a day of discouragement when he sat down under a gourd tree, and it's always been perplexing about Jonah, because God did exactly what He said He was going to do once Jonah yielded to what God wanted him to do. And he said, Lord, I knew you were going to do what you said that you were going to do. And he really didn't want that. God was very kind, very merciful to him, and He gave him a gourd tree to sit under and put him in the shade so he wouldn't die. Jonah finally came to his senses, just like he came to his senses when he obeyed the call of the Lord and went to Nineveh to preach. But there are times of discouragement when we have really no reason to be there. There are times of discouragement when we do have reason to be there. Job said in Job 3:3, I wish I'd never been born. Now, all of his family had died, and he had a tremendous sickness that had fell upon him, where he had broken out in boils and sores and had to be in a great deal of pain. And he was thinking, you know, he had to be thinking, why me? Well, I know that you've had times like that in your life, and I want you to know I'm a fellow struggler. I'm not exempt from it. We all have opportunities, may have the opportunity before this day is over. When I say opportunity, I use that because it's just a word to say, you know, that you're going to be faced with the situations that life has to offer. I had one on April the 17th, and you did too, didn't you? But I was down at the Family Life Center of First Baptist Church, and we were trying to feed some firemen and some folks that were coming in that had nothing left, and everything was wiped out until we could get our disaster relief trailers set up and began feeding people in a mass way. And then someone came in and said, Huntsville doesn't have an electricity. And I said, all of it? And it said, as far as we can determine, it was a bad day for you, wasn't it? I remember Brother Charles called me up 2 or 3 days after all that was going on, and he said, "Can I come to your house and take a bath and wash my clothes?" I said, "You're very welcome to do that, and you can stay if you'd like to." And he did come over, and he did that. But that was a bad day for Huntsville. I can remember looking at those towers over there that looked like a twisted piece of tinfoil where that tornado went through. It went through limestone up through harvest and all up there, and I can remember thinking, man, it's going to take them forever to get this tower repaired. And I remember when the electricity, we began to be told that the electricity was coming on here, and I think, boy, I bet they sure are relieved over there. I was lucky where I was. A lot of Athens without electricity, but it came on pretty quickly where I was in town. We have a lot of opportunities to be depressed and to be discouraged. We've had a lot of company in the past. Sometimes when I have gotten discouraged, I'm like, Lord, I must be the only one that ever really feels this way. But I look in the Bible, I look at John the Baptist, who got to baptize our Lord and Savior and who recognized who he was when John came to him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He wasn't mistaken about who Jesus was. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And when he baptized Jesus, God, one of only two times, spoke audibly out of heaven, and he heard him, and he said, and John heard the words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then he was thrown in prison. And he sent his companions to Jesus to say, "Are you him?" How in the world, after having that happen to him, baptizing in the Jordan, could he be having a time in his life where he would send someone and say, "Are you really him?" Jesus said, "Go back and tell him the blind see, the dead are raised, the miracles that are going on." And they went back and reported to John. But see, John knew what he was facing. I don't know if he knew he was going to have his head lifted off the way that he did, but he knew that it happened quite frequently in the day in which he lived, and sadly, still does, in that area of the country. But they went back and they reported to John. We don't know much about that part of it and what happened in his life between there and the time that he died. We know the way that he died, but I've got to believe God, when they went back with that news, when John heard that, I've got to believe that he came out of his discouragement, and in the Spirit, God strengthened him to face what he had to face. And I believe that he faced it in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Lazarus had a great day when Jesus raised him from the dead. I think God had to done a tremendous thing in his life, because when I get to heaven, I don't want to come back. As much as I love everything here and love my wife and love my family, I don't want to come back. Don't you pray for me to get up out of the casket, folks, because I don't want to. I'll be in heaven. But Lazarus came back. What a testimony he had, and how people were looking to him and what Christ had done in his life. You know, immediately what the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees did, they put out a contract on him, and he knew it. They wanted his death. Mary came and she anointed the feet of Jesus with oil, and Judas got all over her case for doing that. Well, we know what Judas was and what happened to him, sadly to say, but Jesus said, "This is a good thing. She's anointed my body even unto the burial." A lot of us have had bad days. I was helping feed with our feeding unit in Townsend, Tennessee, a mission group of about 300 mission serve, and we got our weekend and we came home. We went back through the Cage Cove to see some scenery before we came home, and I stopped to do exactly what you would have done if you'd have been there. I stopped to get some fudge candy at a strip mall. And when I was buying my fudge candy, I had on a disaster relief shirt and cap, all of that. This lady looked at me and she said, "I wish somebody could help me with the disaster I'm in." And I said, what's the problem? And she said, "I've got to go home this evening and move. I'm a single mom, working mom, one daughter, teenage daughter." She said, "I've got to move out because I'll have the money to pay my rent, and they won't let me stay there any longer. And there was a line that began to form behind me, and I'm sad to have to tell you that I'd have the opportunity to minister to that lady. If she'd stopped, she'd probably got in trouble for doing that. I really haven't really gotten over not hanging around there as long as I had would have had to, no matter what, and talking to her to see what might have been done. But she was having a bad day. And I know that she was discouraged. And I hope God did something in her life. I have to just trust by faith that He did because I prayed so. But when the opportunity to be discouraged arises, what we need to do is remember God. Paul said, life is like a race. And here's what we need to do, folks. We need to get our focus, our eyes open to Jesus. And we need to examine our life to what might be holding us down, or to see and examine ourselves and let Christ examine ourselves to see if there's any sin in our life. Sometimes something can be holding us down when we really don't realize it. We placed it ahead of what God has told us to do in our life. There's nothing more important than what God tells us to do in our life for a Christian. Nothing about our family, nothing about our work, nothing about anything that we could ever dream up is more important than what God has told us to do in our life. But if we're not focused in on that, we can get things out of sequence, and what happens without us knowing it is it begins to drag us down. If you've ever tried to walk with a load in your hands, whether you're out doing disaster relief work and chainsaw and dragging brush or whatever you might be doing at home, and you've got that on your back or in your hands, you know that the more you do that, the heavier it gets and the tireder you get. And what we need to do is ask the Lord, make a survey of our life and ask the Lord to reveal to us if we've gotten anything out of sequence, and if we have, confess it to Him. And just tell Him, Lord, I want to reaffirm that You're first place in my life. I'm putting You there right now. This matter of sin is something that really gets me sometimes, because I know that there are times when I haven't realized something's been sin in my life. I know that because sometimes when I confess the sins that I know about, if I've got the courage, and I say, Lord, if You'll reveal any sin to me that I don't know about, I would be so glad to be able to confess that. And if I'm transparent in my life and heart with You this morning, I'm thinking, there might be one thing. You know what happens? There winds up being a list a lot of times. Well, I never knew that. I never knew that. I never knew that. That didn't register with me. The other day I was going along, so to speak, minding my own business. And God's put a fantastic thing in our head. I wish I could call up things anytime that I want to. They say you never forget anything. But something came to mind, and God said, you know, that's a sin that you haven't confessed. And I confessed that sin to the Lord, and I thought to myself, you know, that's a awesome, I don't mean fantastic thing, but that's just a confounded thing, you know, that you would have something buried down in your life that you didn't realize was sin. But here's the deal. The Lord says in the Word of God, if we find ourselves in a discouraged, depressed, Jonah-like situation, that's one thing we ought to ask Him about. Is there any sin in my life that I need to confess? Because that is a weight that's going to, and a barrier that's going to be between us and God. And so it's not rocket science. It's Bible. Just, Lord, what sin in my life do I need to confess? And God will be happy to share that with us. The great thing about it is we don't ever have to stand before God at our death, at our judgment time, our bema seat, having any sin unconfessed, because we can come to Jesus who died that we might be saved and confess that sin. Thank God. We can do that, and He uses that to bring us out of discouragement. The God commands us to go to the finish line. You know, we have a life and a will and a purpose from God that He has given us to live, and that's all He wants us to do. I wish sometimes that I had the abilities that other people do, and that I could do some of the things that other people do, but I just don't have that ability. Ann will tell you, if you know, something breaks around the house and I can't get it stuck together with duct tape or a thumbtack, we got to call somebody, because this ain't going to happen. I just don't have the ability to do that. But you know, God has put so many people in my path, and they feel so sorry for me. And I'll call them up and I'll say, you know, could you come over and help me with this? I just can't do this. I wish I could. I'll mess it up if I try. It'll spring a leak and flood the whole place. And they'll feel sorry for me. And they'll come over and do that. And God's good in that respect. But God's given us a life to live. I have a life to live. I have that to do which God's given me to do. And the ability to do it. It doesn't have to be like somebody else. But I need to do that. And I need to apply myself to it. I need to do it the best way that I can. And I don't need to stop. Sometimes people have said to me, "You know, I'm just so tired and I'm so weary." Well, you get tired and weary. I get tired and weary too. This says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Ask God to strengthen the mind and ask God for strength of body. And sometimes it seems at the end of the day we still struggle with the physical part of it. But you know, we got to the end of the day. And God says that He'll always be faithful for us and to us in that respect. We'll never have to quit the strain. We'll never have to quit putting out the effort. We never did that when we were young, playing the sports that we spoke of a few moments ago. The key issue is that God says that He'll bring us through. He'll bring us out. And so what He says that we're to do as we run this race of life, and when we discover His will and His purpose, is to just get on with that, because all He wants from us is what He tells us in our life is His will and purpose. That's the only thing that He expects from me and you, but He does expect that. But what He says is, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and we're to place our focus on Him and our glance on the world. The scripture says that of Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. So He knew the joy that was set for Him in heaven. And He endured the cross and He despised the shame. And now He sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He went further, did more than any of us will ever do. That's the reason we know we can get to the end. And the other part of it, He lives on the inside of us. And He says in these verses of scripture, as we put our focus on Him and our emphasis on Him and place Him number one in our life, that He's going to be there lest we become weary and discouraged, means that He'll bring us out, and He'll bring us out of the discouragement, and He will strengthen us in mind and body in our life. Then He tells us we're to renew our spirit by spending time with Him. We look at these verses of scripture. In verse 12 it says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. That's what happens to us when we spend time with Him. He says to us in the book of John, I am the vine and you're the branches, and you can't do anything without me, so stay connected. Lord, how in the world can I do that? Just read the Bible and pray and fellowship with Him and keep the lines open. You're traveling down the road with a friend in a car. You don't shut the line down. You don't hang the phone up. That line of communication is open. You may go along for several miles and say nothing to one another. And then all of a sudden something crosses your mind and you just begin to talk. That's the way Jesus is. He lives on the inside of us. He's traveling with us. He wants the line of communication open when we need to know what to say. He'll tell us if we take a moment to inquire of Him. By the way, we're not going to know what He's wanting us to do unless we just pray to Him every morning. Lord, I'm inquiring of You, because I'm not going to understand this word unless You tell me what's there and what it's all about. But if we do, He will. And He'll strengthen the weak areas of our life. And the other thing is, in these verses of Scripture, especially down in verse 18, we haven't got to read them all, but He said, you've come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. And He was talking, you have not come, rather, to the mountain and that may be touched and burned with fire. He was talking about the children of Israel when Moses went up on the mountain. But He said, you've come to Mount Zion. We've come to Jesus. This Bible says that all of the things that God gives us and challenges us and tells us is His will and His purpose in life is to be lived with the understanding that we are sojourners in this world and we're on our way toward heaven. The book of Revelation in chapter 22 says that the new Jerusalem is headed down. It's descent. John said, I saw it descending down now, and the new Jerusalem and the new earth were put together, which is our final place to be with the Lord at the end of it all. When we die right now, Paul informs us, Jesus informs us through his mouth to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And when we close our eyes in death, we're immediately with him and we're in heaven and we have the body that he has intended for us to have. One day, we're going to be reunited with every Christian after Jesus comes and takes his church home and the tribulation time has taken place and that's over with and he comes and Armageddon battle is fought and the thousand-year reign is over with. It talks about on the Bible when it's all over with, the permanent state is that new Jerusalem with him forever on the face of this earth, which is a new earth. There won't have to be any sun. He'll be the light thereof. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to live in a body and recognize one another like we do now? But everything's going to be perfect. There's going to be no devil. There's going to be no sin. Christ is going to walk among us. We're going to worship, not only worship him, but we're going to worship in his presence. We're going to have an existence that was the existence that he intended us to have when he created the world and put people in it, Adam and Eve. And it's almost unimaginable how to think about that and how to know about that. But the Bible tells us that we're to live our life with the anticipation of that. This is not it. A born-again child of God is on the way to heaven, but Jesus says that he's the way and the truth and the life, and there's no way for anybody to ever get there except through him, but the way is open to everybody and anybody who will come through him, that heaven is our home. And in the journey that we take now, he said, lest you become weary and discouraged, keep your eyes on me, your focus off of the world, your focus on me. My will and my purpose for you is good, is perfect to every intent. And I will be with you, in you, leading you, the paraclete, the one called alongside to bring you through. This morning, he offers his salvation to anyone who would accept it. Now, let me ask you this morning. Has God convicted you this morning that you're lost? In other words, what I'm saying to you is, do you know of surety when you die, you're going to heaven? If you don't, that's a lost condition, but you can rectify that this morning. You can ask God to forgive you of your sin and invite him into your heart and life, and he'll save you. Not only that, when he comes in to live on the inside of you, he's going to walk with you the whole way until you get to the end of the days that he's appointed for you, and then he's going to usher you right into heaven to be with him forever. That you need to settle that issue right now. If you're discouraged this morning, I'm here to tell you that all of those roll call of faith that we read about in chapter 11 of Hebrews knew what that was about. Most of them never knew the fruition of the faith that they were having in Jesus. But see, faith was the victory. Their fellowship with God was the victory. And that's what our victory is. And that's where our joy and our peace is. In the anticipation of being home. This is not it. Home is heaven. But he walks with us through. If you're discouraged this morning, you pray God to bring you out of that. And I have every confidence, and I know you do too, that he'll bring you out. You may need to make another decision this morning that God's placed upon your heart, whatever it be, from witnessing to someone to an invitation to church, to Harvest Festival, or whatever it might be. But God wants us to do what he places on our heart, and he wants us to do it as immediately as we possibly can. And so that's the invitation this morning, too, to respond to God in that way. We're going to sing Just As I Am as Brother Dana comes and our musicians come. And I'm going to ask you to respond in the way that God has spoken to you to respond this morning. We stand in just a moment and sing. You can pray that prayer of repentance. Ask the Lord to forgive you of sin and save you. You can pray it right where you're standing. And then my invitation to you is to come and share openly what God does with you in private. And the invitation is also to join this church and follow the Lord in baptism. You need to do that somewhere. This would be a good place to do it.
Maybe you need to move a letter into this fellowship, be a part of what God's doing here. You need to come and do that this morning. Ask the Lord to work in your life, bring you through the discouraging time that you're in if you're there. And He'll do that. Let Him have His way, whatever way He's spoken to you this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I invite you to come right now. Let's do it.
Just as I am.
Come. Thank you so much. Let me say what a joy it's been to be here this morning. Don't tell Brother Charles it's 11:37. That clock's got to be fast anyway. I mean, I know these deacons well enough to know that.
Would you enjoy Brother Robert today? Let him know that, would you? Amen. I encourage you to be back tonight, 6 o'clock, for our time of worship in small groups, as well as let me remind you that if you've not signed up for flu shots and you'd like to have a flu shot, they're using needles that are 13 inches long. And if you'd like to get a flu shot, please see Malcolm Gray, and he'll be glad to have you signed up for that, okay? I'm looking, who's leading us in our closing prayer today? Oh, there he is, Glenn. Couldn't find you. Glenn McQuiston is going to lead us in our closing prayer. Just grab the hand of the person next to you, would you? You pray for them silently as Glenn leads us in our closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this day. Father, guide and protect each one of us as we go through the week. Bring us back safely to the next services. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.